The Arthropod. The Arthropod is the home for the wonderful, weird, wacky world of insects. Hosted by Jonathan Larson, Jody Green, and Michael Scavarla.
Welcome back, everybody, to Arthropod, your entomology podcast. I am one of your hosts for the day, Jonathan Larson.
I am your other host, Jody Green.
And I'm the last host, Michael Scavarla.
The final host, the omega host, Michael Scavarla. We are excited to be joining you for another little bit of entomological educational entertainment, and we are going to be talking all about chiggers today. We're doing the ABCs of chiggers, because they always be chiggering.
And we have our mite expert with us.
We do have a mite expert with
Super
us.
Super excited to see Mike again.
Mighty Mike.
Yeah, people say, can you really have that much fun when you are recording a podcast? And I said, yeah.
I don't see why not.
Everything I say is true.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
We're fun people.
Well, people think we're always together, but we're really not. And it's just like, I'm looking at Mike right now. Look at his nice long hair.
He's got beautiful cloth.
Oh, can you guys see me?
Yes.
I can't see you. There's no...
That's okay. You don't need to see us. We look the same.
Oh, that's weird. I don't like that you can see me and I can't see you now.
To be fair, you're like a tiny little picture.
Yeah, but you look great. Oh, okay. Good to see you.
Well, it's nice to imagine you in my head.
Before we get into talking about chiggers, has anything interesting been coming into either of your labs?
Bat bugs.
Oh, you got some bat bugs?
Oh my gosh, I got probably 20 to 25 in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Individual samples or just like in total from a couple?
Okay, I would say those are total physical specimens. I would say maybe 12 different people.
Tell our listeners a little bit about what bat bugs
are. Yeah, so bat bugs are very similar to bed bugs. They're an ectoparasite, but they're... their primary host are bats, and I work in the Lancaster County, and in Lincoln, there are a lot of bats. We've got a lot of old buildings and tall churches and schools in the area, and most of the time, I ask them if they have a history of bats, and they do. And so, the bat bug and the bed bug look very similar. You've got to put them under a microscope or a hand lens. You can tell the difference by the length of the hair right close to the head.
And are they going to be a pest of people?
They can be. A lot of times people are going to find them on the top floors of where they're living. So if they're in an apartment, usually the upper floors in houses, it's usually, it can be found in their bed because they've got their bed right up against an exterior wall by a windowsill. A lot of the bats are going to be in an attic and a void space under the eaves and the shutters. And so they're going to come out. So they can fall out off the bat and they can feed on blood of humans if in the absence of their host. Okay. But the treatment's going to be very different. They do need to get rid of their bats right now, though. If you talk to any wildlife person, we do also love and conserve our bats. And so we let them fly to the end of the July. So it's going to be preparing to seal out those bats and then treat for those ectoparasites. But it's not going to be a bed bug treatment, which is very different.
So Jody's had bat bugs. How about you, Mike?
Oh, that's really cool. I get... Just to riff on that for just a minute, I decided a while ago to keep track of bed bugs versus bat bugs that I get in, and about 20 to 25% of the submissions I get are bat bugs and not bed bugs. So for me, it's always important to like scope them and make sure they're one or the other, because you know I get enough bat bugs that you know they're not rare.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool that you're getting them in. I haven't gotten any in recently. I've seen something interesting that I've seen a bunch of samples, maybe four or five in the last week or so, are these oak galls on leaves. I think they're oak button galls made by the cynipid wasps in the genus Neuroteris. And they make these little button galls on the bottom of the oak leaf, and when the galls are mature, the galls like fall off in the wasps. Mature in those galls and then emerge, I think, next year. So they'll overwinter in the galls, like under the oak. And I've gotten a bunch of samples in, all from western and southwestern Pennsylvania. So I wonder if there's like a local outbreak of these things. you know, the galls are already falling off, and even when they're on the leaves, there's not a whole lot to do for them. Like, you just kind of let them go. It might make the oak look not great this year because there's all these brown spots, but there's not really a treatment for them. So, you know, I just kind of tell people it's aesthetic damage. You know, it's not going to kill your oak. Even if the leaves fall off now, they'll probably re-leaf, so should be fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've been getting a bunch of them in, which is interesting. Mm-hmm.
So they're on the leaves?
Yeah. Yeah, so they're leaf galls.
Okay.
And most leaf galls, they don't adversely affect the plant. Even in this case, like, entire leaves are coming in just, you know, 80% of them are brown because that's how much is covered in these galls. So I do wonder about loss of photosynthesis if the entire tree looks like this, but even now, even if the leaves fall off, the oaks should have time to re-leaf this season, and unless they get hit this bad 4 or 5 years in a row, I don't think it'll adversely affect the tree.
Yeah, because we get the bullet galls, bullet galls on the branches.
Oh yeah, I get the branch galls occasionally too, especially in the spring when people start going out and looking at their trees, but there's not really leaves on them, so they can see the branches really well. And even those, I don't think there's any treatment, or aside from pruning them out to reduce the wasp load in the immediate area.
Oh yeah, oak gets tons of galls. I think it's the most specious gall habitat that there is out there for these insects. So usually not a big problem though.
Yeah.
What about you?
My big thing has been springtails the last week. I've had so many people catching and bringing in springtails. We had a lot of rain, and I assume that there's some association with that. A lot of people are finding them in their windowsills.
Moisture pests.
They tend to congregate towards that. So those are kind of some of the weird things that we've been seeing. We've also been dealing with a lot of questions about our main critter for the day, the chigger. I think that Jody and I both have experienced lots of chigger bites recently, and I think that we've also had a lot of clients calling in and emailing about this particular pest. Mike, could you explain to people exactly what a chigger is? What is a simple explanation?
Sure. So chiggers are in the mite family Trombiculidae. So all chiggers are Trombiculids. And Trombiculids are in this neat group, the parasitangone mites. So the larvae are parasitic, and chiggers are parasitic on mammals for the most part. Other parasitangones are parasitic on insect hosts. So if you now and earlier, like in May, if you find daddy long legs, they'll often have these red mites on the legs, and those are another type of parasitangone mite. Grasshoppers often have them as well. So the majority of parasitangones that are parasitic on insects, but this one radiation is parasitic on birds and mammals.
And then you said they're immature, so what do they turn into?
Yeah, so it's just the immatures that are parasitic. After they feed, they'll fall off and then molt into nymphs and adults that look very different. And the nymphs and adults are predatory, so they'll run around in leaf litter and grass and eat other mites and small insects.
Can we see them when they're nymphs and adults?
Yeah, as nymphs and adults, especially larger parasitangone mites like erythreids, you can definitely see. You can see adult chiggers. They're reasonably small. And even the larval chiggers that are parasitic, you can still see them, although they are quite small. But they're bright red, so you know, you see this little red dot crawling on your skin, and they do stand out, especially against like dark clothing.
But these are not the velvet mites, right?
They are. So
they are?
Velvet mites are a type of parasitangone.
I thought they were from a different family.
Yeah, so they're from a different family.
Okay.
Chiggers are Trombiculids, and velvet mites are Trombidiids, but they're in the larger group Trombidioidea, so same superfamily.
Trombidioidea.
Okay, because I really like the red velvet mites, so that was my issue, because I do not like chiggers. Like, I love arthropods, I love nature, I love being outside, but I side with the clients here. Like, chiggers are the most annoying, like, it's terrible.
So, tell me more about that. Why are chiggers so annoying?
Well, Because you can't see them. So I know you're saying that I can see them on dark clothing. Like, I wish they would glow. I wish they would have, like, little vibrations or something that I know that they're there. Because they're, to me, they're invisible to the naked eye, would you say? Is that true? Like, if I'm looking around for chiggers, I can't see them. Right?
Just hanging out on a plant?
Right. Like, they're not, like, they're smaller than spider mites, right? Like, would I be able to see them? I want to go find them, but I don't.
I think you can see larval chiggers. I can see them. I think the biggest problem is that they're so small, you can't feel them. So if you get, like, even a larval tick, oftentimes you'll feel like, oh, there's a little tickle. Like, it may not, bigger ticks especially you can feel, but, like, even larval ticks, you can feel a little tickle. And, like, your senses go off, like, oh, there's something there, I need to look for it. But chiggers are small enough, you don't get that feeling or that sensation, so they'll be crawling on you and you just don't know it. You don't know to look for them. So, you know, a larval tick is tiny, but when you get the feeling, you know, like, there's something in this area, let's start looking. Mm-hmm. But chiggers, I don't think you get that feeling. So you don't, you know, you can see them, but you don't know to look.
Right. And so I do not like chiggers. And I feel like if I was rolling around in the grass, then I would be like, okay, maybe I would get chiggers. But we were standing on freshly mowed lawn at a school doing a bagworm segment. Jonathan was there too. And, I mean, it was short, low to the ground. We weren't, like, I've been doing a lot of stuff out in the field, and I've been well protected, no chiggers. And then it's, like, this lawn that we ended up getting. I think I ended up getting, like, 16 bites. So chiggers are in the lawn, and you don't know where they are. They're somewhere in the ground. Jonathan could have been standing in a pocket. I could have not. But you can't really tell. It was like hours later where I just had the most annoying discomfort. It's like itching in all the wrong places. That's how I would just say it as,
you know. Let's talk more about that. Let's talk about the bites. They get on us, and these larval chiggers, they find our skin. Now, we hear a lot of these things on the internet about they're burrowing into us and
balls.
They live inside of us. But what's really happening here, Jody?
So they are going to feed on our dead skin cells. So they find a place to attach, and they insert, like, this straw-like mouth part. And you can correct me anytime, Mike. It's like a hard stylosome, and that makes us hard pustule. Like, you can feel it afterwards, but they attach, and then they have digestive fluids. They liquefy the skin cells, and then they suck it up.
Just as a point of clarification, so they've got really short mouth parts. And, I mean, I think this is the neatest thing. So they do digest your skin.
Gross.
And the stylosome is like the digestive fluid that they're exuding into you that is digesting your skin, then hardens into this, like, straw. So they're not inserting the stylosome. It's like the
they
hardened
digestive. They create the stylosome,
yeah.
Right?
There's a really good photo of, or photo illustration of this on Wikipedia, of all places. So if you want to go check that out, it shows it really well. And I mean, that's part of the reason that the bites last so long is you just have to wait for your skin to grow new skin and slough off, because the stylosome just stays in you.
So gross.
So I recently went down to Texas with some friends, and we were walking around, and I must have stepped into just a nest of chiggers or something. And I think on both of my ankles got upwards of 30 or 40 bites on each ankle. And I had a very adverse reaction. My skin kind of turned into these bulbous boils almost that popped like big blisters. It was really gross and disgusting. And now that it's settled down, I can see where each individual chigger bit me and how everything kind of glommed together into a nasty problem that ruined several pairs of socks.
Yeah.
And now I've got bites on top of those bites that have occurred since then. So I was wondering, what are your guys' worst experiences with chiggers?
So I grew up in Canada. I did not even know about chiggers until I went to Purdue, and someone's like, oh, you don't sit on the lawn. Don't sit on the grass. You'll get chiggers. And then they told me that they burrow into your skin, and I never sat on the lawn again. But I never really had chiggers, couple here and there since I've been to Nebraska. But last week, I think that was the worst.
That was
experience.
The worst.
Yeah. So
we were out doing the backyard farmer bagworm segment. We were standing next to a juniper shrub, and you got ate up.
Yes. And, well, I am definitely not someone who would want to live in a nudist colony, but last week there was a couple days that when I like I woke up in the morning and I thought like wearing clothes is going to be so painful. If I was asked to join a nudist colony, I probably would. So the problem with the chiggers is that they will crawl up your body and they will find like where the thin, where your skin's thin. So like the knee pits and the armpits, but they'll also go like, so you had socks. So they went where the clothing is tight by the ankles. I didn't have any socks. So they kind of went up so that the next closest tight spots were, you know, undergarments. And so those are what I call itching in the wrong places, because like even if I didn't have clothes, you would see exactly where my clothing was the tightest, right? So waistbands, around the legs, and then right across my back, like pretty much like a bra line. Exact. So wearing clothes or thinking about wearing clothes to go to work was very painful. And it's like the 48 hours afterward, it's just, it's unbelievable intense itching.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah. So I was really excited this weekend when I could like put on clothes and not feel my chigger bites. Like I was so exciting. But next week when I go on vacation, my family, when they haven't seen me for like 2 years, are going to be like, what are those? Because it's scarred really bad. Yeah. It's not going to look good. Okay, Mike, it's your turn. Let's go to sharing.
Honestly, never gotten them that bad.
Really?
I grew up in Pennsylvania and we've got them here, but not, you know, they're in pockets. You don't. Most people have never encountered them unless you go to certain like parts of the southern parts of the state. But even after, and I never got them in Indiana at Purdue, but even after moving to Arkansas where they are reasonably abundant, I think, you know, in the 7 years I was there, I maybe got 5 chigger bites.
Wow. You're very lucky.
You're so lucky.
Just, yeah. And I know I'm lucky. My friend Danielle, who was a tech in our lab and a master's student in the department before that, there was one time she got 60 bites all up and down her back. So I know people down there that were bitten up that badly, and I just managed to escape it somehow.
That's good for you.
Yes.
I did get bit at Purdue once. I did a field trial for a professor there. I was putting these logs out in sort of a wooded, swampy area, and the part where I was in the woods putting these logs up on rebar, making log popsicles and hanging cages on them. I was in some really tall grass, and that was my first experience with them. I got them up and down my calves. I had on shorts that day, and I just had all these weird pustules all over my legs, and it was when I first learned of chiggers. So this is definitely something that annoys people. It's something we hear a lot of complaints about. Is there any advice that you can give to people on how to prevent this painful itching from occurring to them?
Well, I tell them that when you're going outside, to wear protective clothing, which is usually just your regular clothing, but wear the long pants and socks, boots. So when I did a field day with some of the Clover kids the other day, I had long pants and socks, and I had rubber boots over top, and I was well protected. So then if they do get on, they'll just walk up, and they didn't get to my skin. And then as soon as I was done outside to change your clothing, into fresh clothes, put that in a bag, launder it right away. They can live on the clothes for quite a while, so you don't want to rewear those outdoor clothes or have them in a basket close to where you're going to get dressed. And then also to take a shower as soon as you can to dislodge any mites that might be on you, all the chiggers that might be on you, because from what I've read, if you don't disturb them on, you know, other animals and other hosts, they can feed for like 3 to 4 days. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah. So once they start feeding, they'll be on there for like 3 to 5 days.
Right. So I'm like, I need to go shower. Or what I've done, if I've got to go back to work in the office, I just like take a wet wipe or soap and water, and I'll wipe my legs off. And that's helped a lot. I found that if I don't, I will get, you know, sit down and get chiggers in my knee pits while I'm working on the computer. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all good advice, particularly the wet wipes. So when I was doing field work in Arkansas, you know, we'd be out for hours and, you know, partway through the field work, we'd wipe down just to get anything that came up. And then before we got back into the car to go home, we'd wipe down again. And, you know, that does catch all those chiggers that may be crawling on you but haven't found the spot they want to feed. So you can, you know, that might be part of the reason I didn't get very many chigger bites down there is, you know, we wiped down and took precautions.
How about some repellents?
The same stuff that you'd use for ticks. DEET as a spray-on repellent on your skin and clothes. Permethrin in your clothing. Both are really effective at repelling and killing chiggers. So if you're using appropriate tick controls, you know, that should work for chiggers as well.
I know that Jody likes the permethrin pre-treated clothing. Mike, have you ever used those kinds of products?
I've used them, and they seem to work really well. I particularly remember, again, down in Arkansas, I got into some Lone Star tick larvae, and I had pre-treated pants, and you could just see where I brushed up against a, you know, a ball of them at the tip of a leaf or something, and they'd started to spread out and then just all died.
That's cool.
That is cool.
So it does work really well.
So for somebody maybe going on a long camping trip, we're all coming up on 4th of July here in the United States. If you're going to go do a long weekend excursion, maybe some of those pre-treated pants and shirts would be a really good option to avoid ticks and chiggers.
Mm-hmm. And you can buy the spray. I've got some bottles at home that I'm planning to treat, at least socks and
shoes. So you can treat your own clothing as well.
Yeah, and you just have to follow the label, spray it until it's pretty damp or wet, and then you let it dry.
Okay. Outdoors, I've always read about, you can try and do some habitat management for chiggers if you reduce the length of certain shrubbery and bush that grows on your acreage. That can help to reduce their populations. And I know that bifenthrin works against them, but I don't always like talking to people about using bifenthrin on their lawn for chigger control, because I think then people want to go kind of wall to wall. They want to spray the whole habitat with bifenthrin, and that's not a good idea. If you have a pocket where you know you get chiggers, and it happens almost every year, some sort of low-lying area on your property that gets a lot of turf in it, long grass, I think that you could focus a spray there of bifenthrin, but don't just go out and spray all of God's creation, because you're going to be killing a lot more than just those chiggers.
Mm-hmm. And I have had some calls of people asking about, like, natural ways that are safe. And
I don't know that I've read any research about essential oils or anything like that and chiggers and prevention. And I don't think that – I wouldn't want to go out and spray those anywhere on greenery, since those are oil-based products. We've had a very hot summer thus far here in the Nebraska area. I think that that is asking for trouble. Those high temperatures mixed with oil-type products can lead to a lot of phytotoxicity, where you don't just kill the bug, you kill the plant. So you have to be careful when you're using those kinds of things outside. And I just haven't seen any data about them on people to prevent chiggers from climbing the board. Have you, Mike?
I haven't seen anything.
I think there are some people that are looking into that. I know there's a researcher at UNL that's looking at ticks and other ectoparasites of chickens and other poultry items and essential oils, and has had some promising results, but I don't know that that's published yet, and I don't know if it would be the same for things like chiggers and ticks.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things I read was like back in the 40s, but they were talking about sulfur. Have you heard any of that, Mike, for other mites and things like that? So they were putting, I guess it was like farmers putting sulfur powder in like socks and like dabbing it on their legs and things like that, and that's supposed to repel chiggers. I have not done that, and
smell
I would
like a rotten egg.
Oh yeah, smell like farts. But if you can get rid of chiggers, I would smell like farts for a while.
I know sulfur, particularly like that, when you put them in socks, works well to control bird mites in poultry. So presumably it would control the chiggers as well. I just don't know what sulfur would do applied to a human like that. Like, I imagine it's, I don't know if it's carcinogenic or has adverse health effects, but I can't imagine it's good for you.
No, and I would never.
I'm an MD, so
yeah.
Everything in moderation.
One thing I did think about, you mentioned spraying bifenthrin across your entire lawn. I know you can spray metarhizium fungus to control ticks. It's supposed to be reasonably effective as a biocontrol agent. I wonder if that also controls chiggers, because, you know, it's a fungus that's hitting ticks. Chiggers aren't that too far distant really related to ticks, so
that
might
like
be
a research
I'm not
project.
Sure anybody's looked into it, but that might be something to look into if it hasn't been.
Perhaps the three of us could publish a paper upon such a subject.
Sure, nobody scoop us.
Yeah. Patent pending.
Or do, because we may never get to
that. Yeah, or yeah. Call us in a year. Let's talk about some of the other stuff, though, that I think we've all heard about for chiggers and chigger bites in particular. What about nail polish?
Well, I think a lot of this gets back to the fact that people think chiggers are burrowing into you, but they're not. The stylosome is left even when the chigger is gone. So, you know, nail polish doesn't do anything because there's often not a chigger there to kill. And even if there was, it doesn't do anything for the stylosome.
Yeah, but it makes my legs so shiny and colorful.
Do you use red?
No, I pick all the colors.
Good for your health.
So don't use those. What are some other myths that you've heard about chiggers and chigger bites, Jody?
Well, oh, that they feed on blood. So they're not blood feeders. I don't know if feeding on your dead skin cells makes it seem better, but they're not blood feeders, and they don't spread any disease. So that's important to know.
Well, they don't spread disease in North America.
That's important to know.
Where do they spread
disease? They do, and maybe we can talk about this a bit later. They do spread scrub typhus in Southeast Asia and recently discovered in South America.
I'll take chigger dermatitis over scrub typhus any day of the week.
Are you itching?
I am, yes. Talking about this has made my ankles start to itch. So let's summarize chiggers and chigger biology for our listeners, and then we can conclude the show. Chiggers are not blood-feeding organisms. They're not like ticks. They are arachnids as a type of mite, and we're talking about an immature form of an adult mite, right, Mike?
Correct.
And so these chiggers are a little pestiferous as an immature. They annoy us. Dogs and cats and things can also get chigger bites.
Yeah, so one thing to note is the chiggers that bite humans in North America are almost exclusively one species, Trombicula alfredugesi.
Good name.
And they bite us because they have a wide host range. They'll bite most small to medium mammals and birds and reptiles. So, do they bite our animal friends? Yes, they do, especially the species that annoys us.
So if people sleep with their pets, that would be a good way that chiggers are getting into the bed?
Oh, I don't know. I'd never considered that, presumably.
I do have a lot. We do get a lot of mystery bite calls. And so a lot of times when you diagnose chiggers, because we don't look at bites, it's mostly people explaining where they're getting bit, where they were. It's a lot of circumstantial. And I always do ask, like, if they have a pet and if they sleep with that pet. So if, you know, if the chiggers that we have don't discriminate and will hop on anything, then having your pet in the bed could also be bringing chiggers close to you.
Yeah, very well could. Although, thought about that. I bet it does. But although, I wonder if they'd bite the pet first before biting the person, because they're already on it as a host.
Probably. But it doesn't stop them. So they feed on us. They drink up our skin after they turn it into a nice juice smoothie, and they slurp it up. And after they do that, our skin reacts to that saliva, creating an itchy spot that can be raised, but it can also be kind of divoted. You can have an allergic reaction. You can have a low reaction, but nobody likes having them.
Right, and you can do, like, you can give yourself a bacterial infection from the amount of itching. So it's important to try your best not to itch. I mean, I've said that, but I cannot help it. I do use, like, hydrocortisone over the counter. I'll do, like, showering. Sometimes I just want to shower. Like, you know, warm showers, calamine, a lot of the anti-itch, like, things that are calming, soothing. I've heard witch hazel is good. But if you do need something stronger, I would go see your physician and see if they can help you out. But you just want to try your best not to itch, because then you can turn into an infection.
And with that, I think we have covered the ABCs of chiggers pretty well. If you have any questions that you want us to cover on a future episode, or if you have anything that you'd like to tell us about chiggers, you can always give us your hashtag worst chigger story ever and share that with us on Twitter. We would love to hear about it. You can find the show at @arthro_podshow. You can find us all on Twitter as well. I'm @JLarson_UNL.
I'm @JodyBugsMeUNL.
I'm @MScavarla36.
And it's spelled exactly the way it sounds. And you can find the show at arthro-pod.blogspot.com. Leave us a comment there or send us an email through that website. And we look forward to your correspondence. And we hope you will join us again in a couple of weeks for another exciting episode of Arthropod.
It's time for our insect heroes to put away their nets and pheromone traps. Join us next time. Same bug time, same bug channel, as the Arthropod Gang make the world safe from poor insect podcasts. Until then,
keep on bugging.